ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू इन योर ओन कॉलेज, इन योर ओन रूम फॉर दिस स्पिरिचुअल डिस्कशन। हरे कृष्णा। The topic given today is from self-centeredness to selfish selflessness. तो समझ में आया क्या? Anyways, I will begin with a nice story. Huh? It may not be a true story. It's an allegorical story. It's a very significant story. There was one person who was always getting food which is half stomach. Full life, whatever he did, but however hard work he did, he always had food less than his requirement. He always had to get up half stomach. He never fulfilled. You know, there's something called as udarbharan. You know udarbharan. There's something called as full stomach satisfaction. You must have studied in physiology also. It's called a satiety point, and there's a satiety center also in the brain, which signals you now. Happy, पेट भर गया, but he never got the satisfaction of satiety. So after many years, he used to do a lot of hard work, many menial work, like the cobbler type of work, you know. So one day he met with a sadhu, and he asked him that, how is this that I am always getting less than my requirement of my stomach? I work so hard, and whatever I do, however I work hard, but I only get food which is half the stomach. So please see, you are Trikaldarshi, you are a Siddha, you are a perfected soul. So with your power you can see my past and present and future and tell me why is this. So that sadhu went in trance, meditation, and saw in his whole life. And he came up with the answer that your past karma is such that you are only entitled to have 50 gunny sacks of grains in the whole life. Maybe the gunny sack is 100 kilos, and for the whole life what you are allocated by the Lord as per your karma is 50 gunny sacks. That means 5000 kilos. But the Lord is very kind upon you. Instead of keeping you hungry for many days, he is giving you little every day till the end of life. That's why you are actually getting limited stock of food. So he said, I am fed up of not having any satisfaction of my stomach. So please request God to give me everything at one shot only. And let me die out of hunger afterward. But at least one time I want to eat full stomach. So whatever was remaining after 5000 kilos, he must have consumed so many things. So whatever was remaining, one fine day, one person donor came and donated those many gunny sacks to him. He said, this is for you. So what he did, he was like very happily he cooked the meal. And naturally, it was like few hundred kilos, you know. 5000 kilos is lot, but remaining also was few hundred kilos. But he cooked everything that day. And he called all the beggars and all poor guys, everybody. And he also ate full stomach and he also gave them full stomach. Next morning, somebody else came and gave him another few hundred kilos. So again, next day he called all those and few more. And fed them full stomach, he also ate full stomach. And third day some more person came. Fourth day some more man came, some other man came. And then he could not go to his work only of cobblership. He had to just receive the grains and cook for it and arrange cooks for that, arrange chula, everything. And this just went on till the end of his life, you know. In the middle of somewhere in these events, he again met a sadhu. And he was like perplexed. He asked sadhu, you told me that I only have 5000 kilos of grains and only few hundred remaining grains were delivered to me and that was finished. But here every day I'm eating full stomach and every day more and more grains are coming. So on whose account they are coming? My account is over, na? So whose account is this that is delivered to me every day? Sadhu gave a very significant answer, very beautiful answer he gave. He said that when you got all the grains from your account, you didn't bother to keep it for yourself, but you distributed it to everybody. And every beggar also has his own account, how much he's supposed to get. But you gave from your quota to them. So now their quota is coming to you. Because you are going to feed them, they are coming to you to eat. And they have certain quota from God, which is coming as per their karma. So God is sending all of their quota to you, because you are cooking for them. And through you, God is delivering them all their quota. So now whole life, you will be able to feed yourself fully and also feed them fully. I was very, very startled with this story. Amazing story. Amazing story in which we learn how what is the power of giving. What does power of giving do to you? Huh? So the story tells us that when you give, you are never at loss. When the tree has hundreds of fruits, maybe thousands of fruits sometimes, such a big trees are there in Vrindavan and some holy places, and they sometimes have thousands of mangoes in mango season. And as you pluck the mango, the tree gives more mangoes every year, right? Suppose tree restricts the mango. Okay, I'm not going to give mangoes. Let them hang on the tree. Next year, in those places, mangoes will not come. When the tree gives mango, God gives more mangoes to tree. And the tree further gives mangoes to people. So in giving, we receive. And in giving, we are never at loss. But generally, we think that if I give more, my God, I will be less. I will be having difficulty. I will be having deficiency. This is our common routine thinking, which is logical also in one sense. But in the transcendental science, which is called a spiritual science, which is not, it's called metaphysical science, not worldly science that we learn. It is when we give, we receive more. There's also one more story I get reminded now. There was one fruit vendor in Nandgaon. Nandgaon is Vrindavan, where Krishna, Balaram, his father, mother, they resided there. So the fruit vendor lady came to distribute, to sell fruits basically. And in those days there was no currency that you give notes and dollars and bills. It's a barter system. Like you have grains and you give grains and you buy fruits. Or you want to buy grains and you give fruits and you buy grains like that. So they exchange whatever is the provisions. So when Krishna was baby, small baby, so he knew as a baby also that my father exchanges something to get some things. So when the lady came to sell, he also went in the storehouse and put his two little arms, palms, and picked up some grains, both palms. And by the time he reached that lady, many grains already had fallen down from his hands, because his hands are so small, you know. So he didn't know how to hold it properly also. Many grains fell down, and by the time he reached her, only few grains are there in both hands, and he just gave in her hands. But that lady with so many fruits was so charmed with beauty of Krishna and the gentle efforts that baby was doing to bring grains and deliver to her. She was so enamored and so charmed that she just kept looking at the baby only. And then she gave the whole basket to the baby or removed the fruits and gave. So he was like holding against his chest all the fruits towards his face. And so happy. And that the lady was so happy to see Krishna happy. She went home, filled up her basket with next set of fruits and delivered to the baby. And the baby was so happy to get more fruits. Again she went back home and again brought some more fruits. And she was in such ecstasy. That day she was not thinking that what she got in return. She was just giving and giving and giving, seeing the baby happy. She was just giving and giving. She never thought, what will I eat today if I sell all my fruits free of charge? Don't charge for them. What will be my return gain? Then she slept in the night. And when she woke up in the morning, she saw the same basket was filled with all jewels and ornaments. But still, she never got enamored by those ornaments which she got in the basket. Because she has never, in primarily, never done that exchange or fruits given free of charge. Never in the mood that, oh, on the next day morning will I wake up, my basket will be filled up with grains, with gems and with ornaments or jewelry. She had given it with full selflessness. Just enamored by the beauty of the baby, and to please the baby she was just giving without any expectation. Ahai tuki. Unmotivated she was. So what was in return? That she got so many jewels, which is like worthy of millions of fruits like that. If she would have distributed millions of fruits, she would have earned so much of jewels. But she got, in 2-3 turns, she got a basket full of all ornaments and jewelry. So by this story also we learn that when you give, you receive in abundance. And we think when we give, we will always be deficient if we're giving. This is our material calculation. But in Krishna consciousness, in bhakti, in the spiritual science, we learn that when we give, we gain. Much more than what we actually think we are losing by giving, much more than that we learn. And how it is connected with our profession? Because our profession also is giving. You may not give money to people, but you give your skill, you give your intelligence, you give your knowledge that you have acquired, you give your experience that you have acquired by practicing your knowledge into people for many years. Then you get a lot of experience, and you use that experience to give expert medical treatment to your sick patient. And you will be very happy and surprised to know, in the original understanding of medical practice, it was like this, that only people who were Brahminical in nature, when they will go to Gurukul, see, there were Gurukuls for all classes of people. There were Gurukuls for Brahmins, Gurukuls for Kshatriyas. Everybody was being trained in particular way. All of them were not in one school learning everything together. But when the Guru will teach, he will know, this is a Brahminical person. This is an administrative person. This is a merchant type person. See, there are always traits. Wherever you go, you find some people are like quickly administrative. They really get things organized and, you know, get things in place, and they are very expert in putting things in place. Meticulous planning they can do, and they can deliver goods and they can get things done. Divide the work and delegate work, and expertly they do. They are Kshatriyas in nature, they are administrative. And some people are always good in teaching. Even you have medicine also, some of you will become professors. They will not be after the money and the practice and day and night emergency calls and all. Some of you will like to become professors, and you will teach all medical students, whichever subject you will choose in future. And there is a knack some people have. They just love teaching, and they just not hankering for money and millions of rupees to earn, but they love to teach and be happy with that. We know so many doctors who are devotees now, but some of one is anatomy professor, someone is microbiology professor, like that we know. So they are also having capability of earning lots of money outside, but they love to be in a college, in a institute, fully equipped, and they can teach the most modern, recent advances also. So the Guru will pick up the Brahminical nature disciples, and then teach him Ayurveda also, the science of health, along with 18 different walks of education. The Guru will teach them everything, including martial arts, including Kshatriya techniques also. Like Dronacharya was teaching everybody everything. He was Brahmin himself, but he was teaching Kshatriya arts to everybody. So in those 18 Vidyas, one Vidya was health, and that will be taught to the Brahminical natured disciple. And then when he will teach his disciples in future, he will also see patients who are sick, because he has also learnt. So he will teach, examine people who are sick by Nadi Pariksha, and he will treat them, but he will never charge them. That is one of the mandates which Guru has put on him. That I have given knowledge to you, but Guru never charges, na? Guru is not saying, okay, in my Gurukul, 5,000 gold coins you have to put first as admission fee. Then every month you have to give 100 coins. At the end of the year you have to put for something else also. Next year again admission 5,000 gold coins. It's not like that. Guru is teaching free of charge. And at the end of your curriculum, when you are graduating from Gurukul, then you go home and bring whatever Guru Dakshina you want to bring. There is no mandate. If you are a king's son, you better bring 10,000 gold coins. If you are a merchant's son, give 5,000. If you are an administrative son, give 7,500. It's not like that. No mandate is there. Whatever you feel, you can give in gratitude. Genuine gratitude. Guru Maharaj, thank you very much. I am a farmer, I can bring some grains. I am a goldsmith, I can bring some gold. I am something else, I can bring something. And Guruji will not discriminate. Oh, this guy has bought mora, so I'll come and kiss you nicely. Oh, you got less, so sit there. Nothing like that. Guru will be very happily also receiving whatever Guru Dakshina and gratitude, and express his love and give blessings, and they will go and practice whatever they have learnt. So in the same mode that Brahminical disciple will treat everybody in the world, even joint bones which are fractured, and do amazing things. You know, we think today we are very advanced in medicine, but in those days Sushruta and Charak, they were all very advanced people, and they had such kind of techniques and knowledge and skills. You know, Mahabharata war, you must have not heard, and Mahabharata war, on the spot they would do reduction of bones, join severed hands on the spot by mantra and tantra. Today we are using yantra, you know, we are using machinery and doing those things, and it takes 6 weeks and everything. It's also bona fide. But in those days, if you read Mahabharata very meticulously, you'll understand that there were people who were vaidyas who would go in the battlefield in the evening when the sunset would be there, and they would do many things to heal the people on the spot and bring them back again, and next day they are fighting again. Amazing thing it is, you know. So we should not think we are only medical advancement we are making, and we are learning new and new techniques, and microvascular surgery we do. So many things are there. So what point I am driving here is that doctors who are practicing, they would never charge their patients. And then in return, that sick person would get well and bring something from his home. Maybe 5 kg of rice, maybe whatever his skill and his profession is. But in the course of time, and also the kings would maintain the Brahminical people. Because this person who is a Vaidya also, at the same time, he also will do Agnihotras, he will do homas, and he will do sanskaras, he will do many, many namakarana, vivaha, sanskar, graha pravesh, vastu shanti, so many 55 sanskaras he will perform. And for that, the king will maintain them. And he will not even charge for the sanskar also. So you call for your daughter's marriage, then he will go and do daughter's marriage, not expecting that my charge is 50,000 rupees. Whatever, dakshina, fine. And kings would provide them otherwise regular grains and clothes and housing, and look after them well. So they were never greedy. They were never looking, okay, rich man's son is coming for my treatment. Okay, farmer's son is coming for my treatment. So he will give me more, he will give me less. Think of that sort. He will just, because he had no anxiety. He was well maintained by the kings. But in the course of time, the kingmanship exhausted. Stopped, right? There are no more kings now. We have all democracy everywhere. There is no kings anymore. You know, selected by love of the citizens. Unanimously out of love, they say, Ram, Ram is our king. They are all waiting. Ram should become king. Nothing like that is happening now. It's all political. So then king's ashray, king's support ended. So then they started charging, because otherwise how they will survive? They also have family. So charging is not illegitimate. Charging can be done. So started charging for whatever they are, minimal charging. But then the greed propped in, that our profession is very unique. We are saving people from life and death. So it's a good opportunity to really capitalize on that situation that we have. Now we really have something which is others don't have. It's like miracle, it's like Siddhi, it's like something mystical we have. You come with something and we really make you stand up and run afterwards sometime. So that exploitative mentality came. And then you will charge 500 and you will charge 5,000 rupees. He said, I am a city doctor, 15 years experience. So you will put up your charge as per your own desire. And you say, I am a new doctor, so I will charge you, start with something. And then later on, the specialization started taking place. Okay, from MBBS and you become surgeon, and you become gynecologist, and you become ophthalmologist, and you become pediatrician. So then there was a need of receiving patients from one branch to another. So then I know ki you, specialized person, is depending on me, who is MBBS, to send patients to you. And if I send you, then you will earn money. So okay, I take commission from you because you are going to earn money from my patient. So then that started. See how the corruption props in. It just doesn't happen overnight. It just takes slowly, slowly. You don't even realize what's happening. You feel, why, so what? I mean, I'm going to do a major surgery on the patient which you send me, and he has paid 50 rupees for you for consultation, and you have understood that he has got some big thing required and that you can do, and then out of that 50 rupees, you will be earning 50,000 rupees. So why should I send it to you? I send it to him, because he has told me he'll share 25,000 rupees with me of that. So I'll choose to send you. No, I'll give it to him. So then he will part that money to me, and I feel it's legitimate because I am allowing you to earn so much money from my source. And that's how that thing started. More and more, more and more. Then even that was legitimate. You needed that surgery, and I am doing that surgery, and I am taking commission from you. Then you don't need that surgery, but I'll still tell you, appendix is very bad. I'll remove appendix from you. It's already infected. And you don't need the appendix, you can manage conservatively. But still, I will convince you, remove it. And make a surgery situation needed for you. Or you can deliver a baby normally, but I say, no, no, see, I'm going out of Bombay, and you know, I may not become coming back till Monday morning. And see, you decide, I mean, it's a very risky thing. One cord is around the neck already. Then, you know, while delivery, the cord will get pulled and there'll be knot around the boy's neck. And I don't know, better you take cesarean. Why take risk? So wife will get panicky and she'll talk to husband, hey, anyway, we're going to have only one baby. We can't afford to have two babies. And what to do? It's a very precious baby. I don't want to take any risk. Huh? Please, better pay 50,000 rupees and get cesarean done. So you don't need cesarean. You can very well deliver normally. Even with the cord around the neck, you can deliver normally. There are techniques for that. Please understand. Now for money's sake, you scare the patient so much. So what is happening in the course of time? First, legitimate commissioning. Then illegitimate commissioning, taking commissions illegitimately, not required. You don't require so many tests to be done, but oh, CT scan is advised, MRI is advised, and B12 and D3 and all hi-fi tests are advised. You have to send the sample to the Mumbai laboratory. Report will come after 7 days. It will cost 2,500 rupees, and all the lists together cost 10,000 rupees. CT scan will cost 5,000 rupees. MRI will cost 7,500 rupees. For that you go here, for that you go there. Why? Because everywhere, wherever you send money, people are sending money back to you on your table. And the GP is really relaxed. Aram se paper padte rehta hai clinic mein. Patient aaya na chalega usko. If in the year, in the month, if he gets 5-6 patients of this kind, he's fine, referable patients. He reads paper. And all the end of the money, end of the month, all the checks come to him or cash comes to him, he's very happy. Otherwise, if the GP is sitting in the clinic with 50 rupees charges and he is getting only 4-5 patients, he is worried. How do I maintain my family? But now he is not worried. He just has to get 4-5 patients referable to ortho, gynec, surgery, somebody in ICU type of people. Hare Krishna. Everywhere, from beds, for everything. So as time is passing, the selfishness is increasing to more and more illegitimate actions. Where it began from? Began from no charge, only selfless service, and being satisfied with whatever we get. Then it turned into greed, and the greed is now multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And in your today's situation, to get in medicine, you have to pay lakhs of rupees for the classes first. Then you have to get admission and pay lakhs of rupees fees for the admission. And then from Timbuktu admission to get it into KM hospital or BJ medical, you have to pay something more. You have got somewhere in the corner of India and you are doing some manipulation, and say some private paid seats are available, and you do all manipulations and finally get in. And then you do MBBS, and then MBBS, what is the use of MBBS? Something has to be there on top of that. So for that again you do all entrance test studies right from second MBBS onwards. Friday, Saturday, Sunday in second MBBS and third MBBS, everybody is going for entrance classes for MD. So they're studying here, second MBBS, also appearing for university exams. But every weekend, you are spending for MD entrance exam. Plus, few lakhs of rupees also are invested in that. Then you get admission, and the admission also, there's a lot of big fees are there. 50 lakh rupees, 25 lakh rupees, sometimes 1 crore rupees to get in certain branches. And then you do that, and you are already last year of MD, you are appearing for entrance for super specialization. And that's a huge cost in that. And by the time you are 30 year old, when you come out of that, and already on your shoulders, you have either few lakhs or up to 1 crore rupees loan or whatever, borrowed money or father's money, whatever, pressure on you. And then you come out of the world. And then you see, how can I go by slow train? I mean, aram se, practice, settle down. How I can do that? I'm already 30. I have to get married, I have to settle my clinic, I have to buy a place for the clinic, and multiple attachments I have to do, slog for day and night, go to 5 hospitals and settle my practice, because more super specialized you are, more dependent you become from other pathies, other doctors. So you have to go and meet everybody, convince everybody, send patient, decide the deal between how much percentage I can give. And then what happens? Then you become very desperate, because you cannot wait till 50 years of age to pay back your loans and then start earning first rupee of your own in life. So desperacy comes. And then all that desire you had during the first MBBS admission interview, you told, I love to serve people who are sick and I really get motivated to cure them. It's my passion from my childhood. I've seen my GP with roaring practice, how nice and compassionate he was, and even entering in his cabin would cure me half, 50% cure was there when I see his face, and when he'll touch me with that touch, I will feel more cured, and what remains is 10% of cure with tablets, and with 2 days I'm getting well. I am inspired to serve like him to all those sick people. Natvaham kamaye rajyam na swargam na punarbhavam kamaye dukkha taptanam praninam artinashanam. My only desire is and was to heal people who are sick. I don't want rebirth, I don't want life in heavens, I don't want money, I don't want anything in return. I simply want to alleviate the pains of all those who are in suffering conditions of life. With that motto, you had entered medicine. But in between, in the process, you came out and you are now looking which patient, when he will get sick, let him come to me. And I will give him a good round to all my friends. A nice round, full circle I will complete. And everywhere I will get commissions, and I'll also charge my money and tell him everything is fine, but some URTI is there, take antibiotic 5 days, you'll be all right. So from selflessness, we have ended up in high selfishness. And today we are discussing from selfishness, how to go back to selflessness. So that is actually our profession. There's something called as mercy in between, you know, that we are eligible to get and receive in this profession. That mercy is the blessing of the patient. Huh? You came to Barsana, you have to come to Barsana eye camp and be in the discharge ward. We move them from the post-operative ward and we bring them to a discharge tent so that new patients can come in. New post-operative patients can come in, and there no new pre-operative patients can come in the pre-op ward. Then they go to OT, post-op ward, and they come to discharge ward. And discharge ward, there is a 45-minute ceremony, and we are giving them instructions not to take bath on the head, not to sleep on the side of the operated eye, not to bow down to any person to offer respects, or not in temples for 1 month. Don't bow down because the pressure will be there of the blood supply. And take medicine properly, put drops properly. They will explain them what not to do, what to do. In the fields, be careful of bulls. They'll dash you, you'll fall down on the ground. So many things are there, 45 days. 45 minutes they are explaining. 40 days medicines are given, sunglasses are given, everything. And at the end, one blanket is given to them. One pair of socks is given to them. Sometimes one pair of slipper also is given to them. So patient thinking, no charge, free operation, free food for 3 days, intraocular lens implanted, 40 days medicines are given, such loving care is given, you know, they have been shaved also, they have been taken to toilet by hand, they have been, sometimes both eyes they are blind, so they have been fed by people, by their own hands they are feeding them. Because they can't see, they have both mature cataracts and both eyes. So we can't operate both eyes together. If they get infected, then both eyes will be infected. So we have to keep gaps between the two. At least 7 days gap is there. But if they are bilateral mature cataracts, then they are blind fully, they can't see anything. So you have to feed them also. Till tomorrow morning, one eye will be operated, they can see with one eye. But today, preoperatively, they are blind. And after operation, immediately, they are also shielded with the shield. So they say, my God, everything is free of charge. Plus one blanket, plus one pair of socks also. So in the end, there's just blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. And sometimes our people who are working in the camp, they cry out of happiness. Wholesale blessings. In India, in Bombay, when I work whole year, not even one guy blesses me. But here, every day 50 guys are blessing you. Ladies are blessing. I wish that you become king. I wish that you become millionaire. I wish that you become happy. I wish Radharani will bless you. I wish that Sri Krishna will be pleased with you and give you devotion and to his lotus feet. I wish all success to you. I wish all prosperity to you. Abundance of blessings from heart. And that time one realizes that this is my real wealth. There are doctors who come to operate there every year. And they feel that we are making good money in Mumbai. Meaning when they come there naturally, they are such people that they lose few lakhs of rupees when they come to operate in our camp. Because their time is their money. You know, 15 minutes they will do one laser surgery, phaco emulsification with a foldable lens, and they'll make real good money. And 15 minutes you can operate 10, 15, 20 per day if you are an affluent doctor, famous doctor. So for them to give up 3 days practice, that means few lakhs are gone. But they do that. Every year they come and operate. And then say, ki what satisfaction we do not get in the whole year, earning lakhs of rupees per month into 12 months in a year. We get the satisfaction in those 3 days when we come there. And we don't charge anything, nothing is earning. Plus we are at loss of few lakh rupees at home. But the happiness that we receive is not available in Bombay in my practice. There also people are thanking us and paying us, but satisfaction of selfless service is something which is worth of crores of rupees that I receive in the camp when I operate. Because all our Brijvasis, devotees of Krishna there, everybody is blessing you with highest form of blessings ever you can imagine. They are not saying that your practice should become successful. You are already successful. And then what they do is, when you discharge them, then they come for follow-up. They come for follow-up. After 5 days, they have to come for follow-up. Sometimes so you have come and operated them, and you are still operating, and you are still there follow-up also. You see the patient in follow-up also. So at follow-up, that person will bring bajre ka roti. Hot, haath ka bana hua bajre ka roti. Haath ki roti bolte hai usko. Then homemade cow milk ka butter or something which is delicacy from his house, he will bring. He'll bring chas, matka bharke, and he'll distribute to all doctors and nurses. And then next year when he'll come, he'll not be having any need that time. He'll be operated by both eyes, but he'll come with some delicacy from his home, ask for, where is Dr. Rajiv Parikh? Has he come in this year for the camp? Oh yes, yes, he's operating. So when he'll get free? 2 p.m. Okay, no problem, I'll wait for him. And 2 p.m. he will wait for the doctor to come out. Doctor will come out of OT and he will give him hot rotis. Sir, this is for you. Sir, last year you operated me. You may not remember me, I remember. You operated me last year. So that roti is worth millions. You know, when you receive that out of love and gratitude and respect and with so much blessings and good wishes for you in the heart. One time one lady came and she was operated and she was so happy that she could see. Because she said yesterday she was totally blind. She could not see what is there in her plate. She couldn't see where is the toilet. So she always has to call grandson, hey Baba, come, I am getting urge to pass. Please come. So he's playing is not coming only. Now she can go on her own and do the business. She can see what is there in the plate. She can manage her dependent life on her own now. So she's so happy. Plus she can go to temple and see the Lord. She can read her pothi also, which she could not do for so many days now. I mean, so many months also. And suddenly everything she can do on her own. So she was so happy. She was actually hitting him on the head, you know. And blessing him and blessing. Really hard hitting. Really hard. Aapko lagega ki she's beating him actually. But she was like blessing him like, and he was so happy. Doctor was so happy. Sir, I had never felt so happy in my life. I've been operating hundreds and thousands of patients every year. He's 50 plus now. He must have operated thousands of people. There's such happiness I never got. And she was beating me. So this is the wealth of selflessness. When you sacrifice something and give your God-given skill for somebody else's benefit, without any motivation of getting something back, then what you receive is the highest thing in life. So in Krishna consciousness, while being doctor, becoming a medical professional, what you need to learn is this mood and this consciousness and this attitude. The skills you will learn from your books and from your college and everything. You'll become houseman tomorrow, you'll become so many things, and all the skills and expertise you'll receive because the college is equipped for you to train you that way. But who is training you for the attitude of being a great doctor in life? And please understand, if you treat somebody free of charge, you're not going to go starving. Please understand this. Because you have your karma, which will feed you. When the elephant is not working 9 to 5 as a consultant doctor, operative surgeon, right? And he eats, maybe your monthly quota he eats in one day. But he also is getting his food, right? He is not even worshipping God also. He is not chanting Hare Krishna and following four regulative principles. But God is feeding the elephant also, no? God is feeding the ant also and rats also. We deliver one baby at a time, sometimes twins, and very rarely triplets. But the mother is equipped with milk enough in her breast to feed all the two or one or two or three babies, right? It's nature's economics. The mother will get enough milk. The mother has harbored two babies in the womb and delivered two babies from the womb. The breast will be equipped enough to give enough milk to both the babies every 2 hours also. She may require more assistance by people, but her both breasts will be enough with sufficient milk. Elephant will not go hungry, the ant will not go hungry, and the dog will deliver six puppies at a time. Dog has no job. The she dog is already tired, exhausted after delivery, but still she will go out, search food, and create enough milk in her six breastlets and feed the babies. I have just seen last month the baby delivered six babies. Now the babies are 3 months old, running around everywhere, and all of them are fed. Nobody is hungry. All playing nicely, and somebody is feeding chapati, somebody is giving bread. Out of no planning as such, but they have their quota, and they get their food. So you tell me, if animals have their quota through which God feeds them, rats have, and ants have, and mosquitoes have, and the elephants have, and the dogs have, why you think we will not have? What makes us think that God will not feed us? And plus, we are highly qualified, highly educated people. How do we ever think that if I give one surgery free, oh, so much loss will be there in family. Oh, how will I pay my son's college fee? No. Each one comes with his own karma, and each one has his own quota. I mean, you may not get jalebi every day, I may get jalebi every day. That's the difference may be there. But you will get your food and maintenance by Prakriti. Prakriti will give you water, air, shelter, khana, pina, everything will be there. So what you have to learn ultimately? That by giving others, there will be never a loss. And for giving nature, one has to practice that nature. It's not that some people are naturally generous hearted, but some are like, you know, trained not to be generous. The son is trained, father is saying, hey, don't be generous, huh? You have to save yourself, save for yourself and future. Don't be so generous. Oh, this son is, you know, he calls his 10 friends to eat for lunch and 5 friends come for breakfast. He just doesn't understand that what kind of economics we are struggling at home here. But you go to village. We went with 2,000 people to Suryakund one time for yatra. And my usual style is, you know, whenever I go, I will go in some hut and I will request, Maya, roti banaogi? So immediately she will start chula and make roti, and I will put the FM speaker in my ears, earphones, and hear the class which is going on. I am eating hot rotis from tawa and hot sabji. They have not counting in the mind ki isko do roti khilaya, kitna kharchaya. And by the way, I am doing that, and Maharaj is giving lecture, and I ate two rotis, sabji nicely, and I am coming out. And now yatra lecture is over, and people are going to bus. The villagers came out with six different counters at distance from one another, and everybody they are serving free chas. And requesting, come please, come, mattha pilo. Namkeen, masaledar mattha. And everybody is competing with the other, ki, come here, come my side, please take. No charges, and they are giving some money. No, sir, please don't pay us. Hamara chas pilo. Bombay mein kar sakte hai, sir? Anybody will do? वो छाछ में पानी पिला के आपको डबल चार्ज में बेचेंगे. बट यू नो इन विलेज व्हाट इज द कल्चर, टू सेल छाछ इज सपोज टू बी अ साइन ऑफ दारिद्र्य, साइन ऑफ व्हाट यू कॉल बैंक्रप्सी. यू कैन सेल मिल्क, यू कैन सेल बटर, यू कैन सेल घी, बट इफ यू सेल बटर मिल्क दैट मीन्स यू आर रियली पॉपर. सो इट्स अ कल्चर, द पोरेस्ट मैन विल नॉट सेल बटर मिल्क, ही विल डिस्ट्रीब्यूट फ्री ऑफ चार्ज. ही लुक फॉर पीपल व्होएवर कम्स अराउंड, ए कम ऑन आइए छाछ पीजिए, छाछ पियेंगे, आइए छाछ पीजिए. दैट्स हाउ दे विल डिस्ट्रीब्यूट छाछ. यू गो टू विलेज, आई गो टू माई फ्रेंड्स हाउस इन द विलेज, एंड एज सून एज आई स्टार्ट लिविंग टू गो बैक, द मदर विल गो टू द फील्ड एंड शी विल प्लक सम फ्रेशली वेजिटेबल्स, ग्रोन वेजिटेबल्स, एंड शी विल गिव मी अ बैग फुल ऑफ सम बैंगन, सम दूधी, समथिंग वट एवर इज देयर दैट टाइम प्लांटेड देयर, सम पालक पुड़ी, सम पालक गाट थिंग थिंग शी विल गिव मी, सम शेंगा, यू नो दैट ड्रम स्टिक्स, शी विल फिल माई कार डिकी विथ वेरियस थिंग्स, सम बनाना का 50 बनाना का वन घेला, सम बनाना लीव्स टू ईट फूड ऑन. Abundance, she just gives. She's not thinking, oh, in Bombay mein banana is for 60 rupees dozen. I gave him 12 kilos, so it must be 120 rupees. And then I gave him two dudhis, 25 rupees each. She's not calculating, she's just giving. Because nature is giving in abundance. The tree has got 50 papayas hanging on that. And she's thinking that, who will eat that? We have only two of us here. So they don't even cut also that. Because if I cut, how will I eat all those? Whom will I give? So they don't even remove those papayas. So as soon as somebody comes to meet, they will take that long stick out with a knife in the end and they will pluck those papayas. And they say, you take, and distribute. And tell ki, these five, give those five people in Bombay also, whom they know. Usko bhi dena ek ek. Because nature is giving them, so they are not greedy. They are satisfied. But in Mumbai, every banana leaf, every peru, every papaya is costing. So you, when you give one part also of that, you're thinking, अरे 60 रुपीज का पपाया का एक पार्ट तो उसको दे दिया मैंने. What will give my son tomorrow? That is city life. So what is real wealth? What is opulence? Tell me. What is Aishwarya? How do you define Aishwarya? How much of benevolence you have in you? How much of generosity you have in you? That is Aishwarya. You are a millionaire, but when you give 5 rupees also you can't give anybody in charity. That is poverty. You have millions in your bank and properties, you have earned a lot of land, you have taken, but 5 rupees also you can't part with for charitable purposes. That is poverty. And when you have a generous heart and you open your treasure to everybody, all your skills and everything, whenever you see need some poor people, you are no problem, you give. Affluent people you charge. But whenever a poor guy comes, before even he requests you, understand he's a poor guy, you always yourself only give. Don't worry, yaar. Whatever you can pay, you pay. Don't worry about the remaining. You pay whatever you can. Surgery is costing 50,000 rupees. You pay whatever you can. He puts on 5,000 rupees. Don't worry. You go, please go. Don't worry. And others are paying you and you are managing your business. But so much happiness you get. He has served a really needy person. He couldn't have anyways paid. He couldn't have taken loan also. But he needed that surgery very badly. I did the surgery and I didn't charge him. Now how much Ashirwad he'll give you? And that Ashirwad will come with you. The money that you earned will go here only. And your sons and grandsons will enjoy that. And the Ashirwad will go with you. You need to earn in this lifetime what can come with you at the end of your life. You should not and need not earn all that wealth which you are not going to carry with you at all. All your life should be spent in earning wealth which is carryable with you at the end of your life. But usually, the affluent surgeon and a physician who works day and night, he takes a great pride in telling people that last surgery I did at 1:30 a.m. in the morning and 5 a.m. I am posted for another surgery in the morning. There are many surgeons I know who have great pride in telling you, medical students and junior doctors, the last surgery I did yesterday was 1:30 a.m. in the morning. And tomorrow morning 5 a.m. I am entering OT again. And so where is the money? When is he enjoying his money? He can't even get hot fresh food at 12 in the afternoon. He has to eat 5 p.m. in the evening stale food. And he has to eat 12:30 in the morning stale food for dinner. And 5 a.m. again in the OT with glass of milk, and again 8 hours is hungry, and then he will get the first meal, some vada pav, something here and there, he'll put in the mouth and again go for next surgery. And all that amassing fabulous wealth, who will enjoy? His sons will enjoy, his daughters will enjoy, his family will enjoy, and one day he will die and all the property will be in somebody else's name, and he has not even taken a square meal nicely hot at time, at proper time. So are you wealthy or you are poor? All that we have to think before we enter in medical practice. People get enamored and carried away with their, you know, fame and the name that he is a top gastroenterologist in Bombay, and he is a top cardiologist in Mumbai, and he is a top guy in India. We are enamored by that thing, but when you become that, you lose a pleasure which even a beggar has on the road. How? The beggar is begging money, and on the street his wife is making hot chapatis and feeding him. You have seen? You come, Mumbai, I'll show you. How nicely the person is sitting there, and the wife has put some lakdi and one tawa, and she is making hot, hot rotis and some dal, and she is feeding him, and he is eating hot, hot food. Yes. Yes. And your millionaire surgeon is eating frozen food heated up in the oven sometime in the 1:30 in the morning. He has all the affluence to do whatever he likes, but he cannot. And someday with his family goes to hotel and eats something which is very highly, highly good restaurant and good food. But daily at opportune time when the hunger is there, who is eating? The beggar is eating proper food. And the affluent guy is just slogging and slogging and slogging, thinking he's such a great man. He's no time to wear good clothes, no time to eat good food on time. So you have to really think, what do we want to become after we come out of our medical education? Really ponder upon it. And you all are intelligent guys. You should think with all your intelligence, what I want to become. I want to really relish my life. So keep things limited and become generous hearted. And I am so proud to become a doctor, because I have, my profession is such, our profession is such, that unlimited blessings of God and his devotees and poor people you can achieve in this lifetime through your profession. Because somehow we are mystic people, because we see the pulse or see some stethoscope, auscultate here and there, do some tests, and we can diagnose something which is going on inside you can't even make out. And we'll cure you of that also. It's like a miracle sometimes, you know. I was about to die if I was not diagnosed in time. And you diagnose that and you cure him. And like I come flying colors out, I say, my God, you saved, doctor, you saved my life. And you gift him out of above the charges, you give him gifts, and you send daughter's birthday gift also, and you wish him on birthday also. Yes, we're so grateful to you. Such opportunity is there in the profession. People are exploiting the opportunity for their own selfish gains, but opportunity to get hundreds of times of more blessings are available in this profession. And most above all the things, when the blessings come, you have a chance to become satisfied person in life. Happy and satisfied person. And people will look up to you and bow down to you. When you are now, why they are betting doctors today? Yeah, because some mistakes happen in there, but why they are so violent? Because there's a pepped up anger in their mind. These guys are taking commissions and looting people, and at the cost of my sufferings, these guys are making millions of rupees outside. And somewhere that frustration with little spark, they will not give up the opportunity. That's why they are beating up. Because the godliness which was there in the profession in the past, the worshipping attitude was there in the people in the past for doctors, is now no more there. They know ki I worship this guy, but this guy is looting me. So that fact they come across, and they know now, everybody knows what's happening. So that pent up anger is there. That's why this beating up, the gods are being beaten now today. But if you become an honest doctor, a compassionate doctor, a kind doctor, then you will never be touched by anybody. People will touch your feet. So we have to decide today what we want to become. And only in giving and being generous, you will get all the opulence of blessings of people, and in turn blessings of God. That is why we need to become Krishna conscious. Not that I am a Hare Krishna, I must tell you to become Hare Krishna. We all need to imbibe those qualities to become a really good doctor in the hands of God. We should all become instruments in the hands of God, who is the ocean of compassion, to deliver His compassion from the ocean to everybody who is suffering in this world. Then that sloka becomes very meaningful, which I quoted in between. You know, natvaham kamaye rajyam, which means I do not aspire for affluent wealth in this life. Rajyam means, like in those days, to achieve a kingdom. You know, this is my kingdom, this is my village, it's under my rule. Natvaham kamaye rajyam, I do not desire any wealth. Na swargam na punarbhavam, neither I want heavenly atmosphere to enjoy sometimes in future. I don't want to come back to take punarjanma in better situations also. I only want one thing. Kamaye dukkha taptanam, all those who are burning with pain in this world. Praninam, all those living entities who are suffering with pain, I want to relieve them of their suffering. Praninam arti nashanam, artam meaning suffering. Arti means suffering person. Arti means suffering. I am desiring to only alleviate sufferings of people who are suffering. It's only my desire. And in this desire, all the blessings, all the mercy of the Lord is hidden. When you do that, whether you get money or not, but you keep doing that, Lord will maintain you very affluently, because this is Lord's work to relieve the pain of people who are in pain. It's Lord's mission. And when you participate in that mission, it becomes God's responsibility, God's obligation, God's mercy that He maintains us affluently, because this guy is doing my work. And I will fully bless him and maintain him. That faith we have. I have given up medical practice 10 years back. After practicing for 25 years, I stopped my medical practice and I am only looking into spiritual care. But I am not having anything less in my life. I didn't desire to have Mercedes and a bungalow in my life. I was happy with whatever basic needs were there, and I'm not a poor man also at the same time. But I have so much satisfaction that I am organizing medical camps in villages and eye camps in Barsana, and guiding so many people who are newly budding doctors and practicing doctors. I engage them in service of charity and engage them in a capacity of receiving blessings from people. And so many people become my friends because I am doing such a wonderful work in villages. So I feel I am a very rich man actually. Although I don't move in a Mercedes car, a very posh car. I have a small car. I go in that car whenever I require. Everything is there in life, whatever is required. House is there, small vehicle is there, a happy family is there, good food is there to eat. You travel a lot, go to holy places, spend vacation, meet good people, move around with good, ethical, nice, wonderful nature people. What else you want in life? You have good company, you are known by your company ultimately. You have good, nice people who are genuine. All people who are in our acquaintances are all nice people who are not selfish, who are not greedy, who are not exploitative. All nice people. We move in big circles in the world because we are doing charitable work. So people are, good people are always in touch with us. So from all angles, life is very much enriched. And plus there is no repentance, ki, oh, I should have practiced, you know. Then I felt that I can hire people who are practitioners, and I can do this work which others cannot do maybe. And by this way, if one, even one person gets a good direction in life, how to live a very satisfied and good life, then all the effort is successful. Even one person, one moon is required to give the whole light in the night, right? You don't require many stars. You require only one moon in the night to give light in the night time. So if you can get one moon in proper direction, the whole night time can be lit by the one moon. Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, I am preaching everybody in the world, but if one becomes a pure devotee, a saintly personality, my mission is successful. So this satisfaction is available to you also. I am not saying everybody should go practice and do this, what I am doing. But I am telling you that God will maintain you with great respect and honor. You don't have to run after money. Money will run after you. You know what is the meaning of shadow? If you want to catch shadow anytime, shadow will run away from you. And you want to forget shadow will follow you. You have seen that anytime while walking? You want to catch your shadow, it will run away from you. And you forget shadow, shadow will come behind you. So similarly, if you run behind money, you will get money, but you will get only of your quota. And when you become generous hearted, as I told you the first story to you, when you become generous hearted, then others' quota will come to you, which you will keep distributing to others. And you will not have anything less. What is the good economic understanding? Tell me. Why to become miserly and only get what you are deserving? Why not become generous and you can get for what others are also getting and you are sharing with everybody what is coming to you? It's like, why not become like a tree? The tree gives fruits and God gives more fruits to the tree. Trees are satisfied. You don't have to worry about what I will get tomorrow. God will give you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So have I done justice to your subject today? I was wondering what to speak. But somehow Sri Krishna has been very kind with us. So if there's any questions, I can answer. Throw pani denge. But that's a wrong feeling you have got. They have burnt down Singhania Hospital in Thane, one of the leading hospitals. Burnt down. The point is that the overall respect for the medical fraternity has been reduced because of the attitude that the doctors are showing to people. Yeah. So we should do our part. We are not saying that we are totally wrong and people are only right. People are also rascals, number one. But the point is that we should do our part. If the tree is right, the fruits will be right. If the tree is wrong, the fruit will be all diseased. So, if society is going in wrong direction, they are losing respect, some people are looting them, they are getting angry with us and we are not at fault, we are genuine, but we are getting beaten. The system is getting corrupt. But I would say, I should do my part. If I would do my part, God will do rest. For me at least, because I am doing my right part. I have only opportunity to correct myself. I can't correct you. You have chance to correct yourself out of your independence. And I have chance to correct myself. That's the only thing I can do in life. But what we think is our world should change. We are only teaching the world how the world should change. But I will not change. While I only have chance to correct myself and change myself. Anybody else? When I was a student, in third MBBS I took up Krishna consciousness. And then I started chanting 16 rounds, 2 hours a day. So people are saying, kya yaar tu do-do ghanta usme waste karta hai? Do ghante mein kitna padhai hoga? At least 35 pages of the surgical botanical books you can read. But you all know, you have some capacity to absorb also. Have you come to a stage? All of you must have come. You must have given some university exam, a first MBBS, second MBBS, and you must have experienced a stage where you are in front of books and nothing is going in the brain. And you are so exhausted and tired. That's happening. That's all of you have experienced. I have experienced also. So what do that time you do? The medical students will go to canteen. They'll smoke a cigarette. They'll drink tea, watch some television, do some ha-ha-ha-yu, and come back again. Hai na? Everybody does that. Everybody in the peak exam time also spending some 15 minutes in television room and in canteen. Because they know ki abhi wo padhai nahi ho raha hai, thoda sa break chahiye usme. Thoda sa hawa mein ghum ke aayenge to thoda baad mein padhai ho sakta hai. So those all time passes we were doing chanting Hare Krishna. I would go, take bath, come back to my room, do some 2-3, I was expert in yoga that time somehow. I studied yoga in 11th and 12th. I would do some asanas, upside down asanas, viprit karne asanas, where blood will flow to the brain. While doing the viprit karne means body is upside down. And what exactly has happened with you by studying for many hours is your brain is exhausted. Somehow the intracranial temperature is raised by 0.5 degree or 1 degree and you feel tired. So you go wash up nicely, do netra cleaning process, come back, do some 2-3 asanas, take deep breathing, some pranayam, and get back to studies. And early morning, get up, chant half an hour, study for 4 hours, again go to bathroom, wash up, chant 4 rounds, again take lunch, take 20 minutes gap in between, dozing off on the table, again study for 4 hours, again evening time, go bathroom, wash your face, come back, do some asanas, chant some rounds, again study. So all that time pass which others would do in canteen, we are within ourselves doing something rejuvenating activities. Scientifically, how to improve concentration? I was doing Vajrasana regularly in my college. So my focus and memory will be very nice. So where is the waste of time? Everybody is by default wasting their time. Please understand. They cannot study 24 hours a day. You have to take a break in between. You can't even study sometimes 4 hours in a line. You have to take a break in between to rejuvenate yourself. So the answer is this. You may in effect tell them I am chanting for 2 hours and they may feel, hey, we are not chanting for 2 hours, we are studying all the time. But they are not studying all the time. They cannot study all the time. It's not possible. You need to have a break in between. And take oxygen and breathe nicely and have a little rejuvenation. Maybe run a 5 minutes distance and come back and again sit down. Then again focus. Aisa nahi hai, don't worry about it. Plus when you chant Hare Krishna, your stress goes away, your tension goes away. You know, I am doing my job, God will take care of me. Yes, I have. It's a matter of reciprocation with God. You give time to God, God will give time to you. And you will see that everybody did good. Everybody got the branches what they wanted. And I have chanted 2 hours a day during final theory exam time and final practical time and final every time. With this kind of schedule. When everybody will go to sleep in the morning at 4 a.m., I wake up at 4 in the morning. And they are shocked. 9:30 he is sleeping, exam time. Everybody is studying, everybody's light is on in the hostel till 3 a.m. in the morning. And all our lights are off. Because we are going by Vedic standards. We are sleeping early and getting up early morning. So what is the difference? When they are sleeping at 4 in the morning, I am getting up at 4. Ineffectively, we are all sleeping for 6 hours, no? But they sleep at 3 in the morning and wake up at 8 o'clock. I sleep at 9 o'clock and wake up at 3 o'clock. What is the difference? Difference is I get quality sleep and good output. And when they wake up after 3 o'clock in the morning at 8 o'clock, they get hangover. What your medical science is telling you? When you sleep at sleeping time, you get good results. When you sleep wake up at waking time, you get good results. So, what is intelligent? Tell me. Studying till 3 in the morning is intelligent? Or planning your sleep in such a way that between 9 and 12 when you sleep, you get for each hour 2 hours quality sleep. You know that? Do you all know that? You should know this. For between 9 and 12, each hour gives you 2 hours quality sleep. So if you want to really do good output and good memory, then you sleep early and get up early in the morning. But a hostel trend is what? Drink tea, double chai, strong tea without milk and study in the middle of the night. And what does your physiology tells you? How does your memory become strong? Tell me. You tell me. You are fresh students. I am an old student. When you sleep, the RNA DNA bonds in the memory chain give you good memory. Is it not true? Have you studied in physiology? You need sleep in between to remember what you have studied. Unless you sleep well, you don't remember what you have studied. And what you study in the night, after 2 teas in the night, and the same question comes in the exam, you forget what you are studying in the night. Why? Because you are not given time for your brain to really form good RNA DNA chains of memory. Simple. So you become intelligent. You have enough time, you use your time, and you become intelligent how to study also. And I was more intelligent, sorry to say, I mean, I'm not praising myself, but because I studied yoga in 11th and 12th, all that yoga helped me in my medical studies. Because I knew that I am exhausted because my brain is exhausted. So I will do wash up nicely, do asanas upside down, get enough blood supply, study again. I'll take dry fruits, which is good for brain. Badam is good, akrod is good, saffron is good. I just keep all these things in my room. Get milk, heat with dry fruits and take nicely. Instead of going in canteen and eating medu vada and all dirty oil, 50 times fried vadas in that. Huh? I never entered in canteen after I became devotee. Can you believe this? I was getting tiffin from home in the afternoon and I was cooking in the evening. And with all that, I was studying well also. Because that was my recreation time when I would cook a sabji in the can in the room. And to eat that, my devotee friends would come in my room and we would share that nicely. I'll keep chapatis from morning tiffin. My mommy will send extra chapatis and I'll make fresh sabji and eat in the room only. जितना टाइम कैंटीन में जाके टाइम पास करके आना है उतना टाइम में सब्जी बन जाती थी. एंड और कुछ बोर हो गया, पढ़ाई नहीं हो रहा है, आई विल गो टू गार्डन, पिकअप सम फ्लावर्स, मेक वन नाइस गार्लैंड ऑफ माई ओन, ऑफर टू द स्मॉल मूर्ति ऑफ पीओपी आई बॉट इन फ्रॉम दादर, एंड आई विल डू सम लिटिल वर्शिप एंड आई कैन स्टार्ट स्टडिंग. सो ब्रेक टाइम एवरीबडी नीड्स, बट आई डू समथिंग एल्स इन ब्रेक टाइम, यू डू समथिंग एल्स इन ब्रेक टाइम. ब्रेक टाइम यू एंड आई बोथ आर रिक्वायर्ड. Nobody is free from need of break time. तो इधर रह के पढ़ाई करना भी एक आर्ट है. डोंट थिंक दैट इज जस्ट स्लॉगिंग डे एंड नाइट विद ग्रोन अप बियर्ड्स एंड लॉस्ट हेयर्स हेयर एंड देयर. हाँ ना, क्या हाल बना के रखा है. ऐसा जरूरत नहीं है कि एवरी टाइम यू हैव टू बी अगली एंड रूम्स आर शैबीज एंड यू आर लाइक 50 बुक्स आर ओपन एंड थिंग्स आर ऑल शैबी हियर, देन ओनली यू आर लाइक स्टडिंग वेरी हार्ड. नॉट नेसेसरी, नॉट नेसेसरी. You can keep your room neat and clean, nicely decorated, proper books at proper time, clothes in proper time, and really make good atmosphere, put nice fragrance and study nicely. People would come in my room to spend time, to feel good. Really, I'm telling you. But I used to also wash my chadars and really keep them neat and clean and spend time in cleaning my room. And so I really enjoyed my hostel life. Because I had all the time with myself, no interference for anybody. I was fully independent. I chose my time, what to do, when to do, how to do, when to go to temple. I got all freedom. And I used all that time. All nonsense I did for first 3 years and all good things I did in next 2 years. After I joined Krishna consciousness. That's it. Any other question? So you got your answer? Don't worry. Just be bold and nicely chant Hare Krishna, do your studies nicely, and fly, flying colors, you should pass out. All, we have so many devotees who got distinctions, you know. So, aisa nahi hai ki when you chant 2 hours a day and go to temple once in a week, you fail in exams and don't get good grades. Aisa nahi hai, it's not true. Have faith and do very intelligently what you are doing. And with good faith you do. And always devotees are in the minority. You are not in majority in the hostel, right? People will say, अरे हरे कृष्णा के लोग पागल है रे, सब फेल होने वाले हैं. दिन रात हरे कृष्णा करते रहते, पढ़ते नहीं, कुछ नहीं करते. ऐसा नहीं है. It's not true. Now we were ridiculed by our classmates and everything. Now we have 11 hospitals. Can you believe that? Now we are 2005 na. Our batch is 1980 batch, completed 25 years. Okay, so 1980 ka batch met in some resort somewhere, really. And 4 of us had become devotees and we were also called, so we also went. And my wife, can you believe, made a cake for 100 people. And that huge cake 4 of us contributed for, and we carried very delicately all the way through that, to that resort. And nobody had got food for everybody. We were the only 4 people who had got separate food for all the classmates. And they were like overwhelmed to see that itna dur se ghar mein cake bake karke iske wife ne bana ke in log ne leke aaya. And then time came to, you know, come and share your experiences. Like you will come and say, "Arey, I am so and so, you know, I am practicing here, my practice is here and there." Everybody had only 4 or 5 lines to tell. Because what is what they will tell? I am a neurologist, I have my clinic in Malad, and I am going to be Hinduja also. और क्या बोलना है. एवरीबडी विल टेल व्हाट, आई एम ऑप्थल्मोलॉजिस्ट, माय क्लिनिक इज इन खार एंड आई एम अटैच्ड टू इंदुजा हॉस्पिटल. व्हाट एल्स यू विल टेल? नथिंग एल्स. माय सन इज इन 10th एंड माय सन इज इन मेडिसिन. सॉरी, When my turn and Dr. Sankhi's turn and other two doctors' turn came, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we told them what all we did. And we could not tell everything also, what we did in 25 years. And today if I start telling what I did from my passing out, they'll be taking 1 hour it'll take to explain everything, what we did and how we did. Something tangible to tell today. We were all ridiculed guys in our hostel. But today we are running a hospital which is 200 bedded multi-speciality. Another building of 12 floors is coming behind the main building. And there are 11 hospitals we are running. 100 religious charity is going on in Thane district. And what not, we can go on telling you what all we did in the past years. Only because we became devotees, this is the record. Otherwise, I also would have told that I am a GP, I am practicing in Thane, and I have got 50 patients in the morning, 50 patients in the evening. Roading practice is there. Aur kya bataunga uske aage? Nothing else to tell. It's routine, na? A, B, C, D, what is there? But just because we became devotees of Krishna, we had a different kind of medical life which we lived. And if you look back now, I'm so happy and satisfied what I did. Because I have a record to tell people what I could do and what I did. It's not pride, but it's so that great satisfaction is there. If I wouldn't have become a devotee of Krishna and joined such a worldwide institution, I wouldn't have got any vision only to do anything in life. But because I was in a worldwide situation, I got some vision from somebody, some great soul guided us, we got inspired and we left our own selfish things and did something together. I'll tell you one last line before I end, that our Gurudev, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, you know, he has written the book Journey Home. Some of you must have read the book. Very bestseller book in the world. So he's our Guru Maharaj. Okay. And he told us in the very early stages, just before even beginning the hospital, that all of you are such nice people, already following principles, no cheaters, very nice, good people, good family and nice education. You will do extremely well if you practice. One of them, us was an orthopedic surgeon, one of them was a physician, one of them was a pediatrician, one of them was a general surgeon. All kinds of people were there. And Maharaj said that you all will do extremely well in your individual practices because you are so ethical, so nice, so sweet people, so kind and so nice people. So people will flock on to you for medical treatment. But if you come together and do something, your name will be in the history. That's what he told us. And we kept on following that path. Now we are writing a book about the history of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And we have got adventurous history, what we have done in the past and what we have gone through and experienced, most adventurous experiences we have. So we thought that before we retire and before we forget, we should write the history down. So that next generations and all doctors, medical students, all over the people everywhere, our staff members who are now 1,000 in one hospital, they will all come to know what is the history behind this hospital. So it will be a good contribution. And he tell me, that time when we built the hospital, now it was 15 crores. And we were all interns. And our pagar was 400 rupees per month. How could ever we could have imagined that we could come together and build a hospital worth 15 crores that time? Today it is 150 crores worth by the inflation cost. But just because we are doing charitable work, even during student internship time, the 26 donors who would give us 11 rupees and 21 rupees and 51 rupees and 101 rupees and 500 rupees per month as patrons of poor for monthly contributions, 26 of them came together and built a 15 crore worth hospital for us. And we were still wondering as students, kaisa ho gaya hospital, my God. 80,000 square feet ka, 6 floors, 4 wings in each floor, 24 wings wala hospital, kaisa paida ho gaya? We can never do it on our own. But just because we made our hearts open for serving others, God blessed us with a hospital which we can never build on our own. And today also, what is our earning and what is our status financially? But we are coming up with 100 crore project at the behind land of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. With MRI, with radiotherapy, with 50-bedded free ward for cancer treatment, 50-bedded free ward for eye treatment, and just name it. All these miraculous things are happening in front of our eyes, which I know I can never do it on my own. But just because we remain together in some charitable cause, we have been blessed with not one big hospital, but 11 hospitals are there. And we have opportunity to guide people, train people, and tell them the same ethics in all the hospitals. Same approach is there in all the hospitals. So what is the loss? It's only gain, and gain, and gain. And you all have the choice. You don't have to join Bhaktivedanta Hospital, all of us, all of you. Some of you may love to join, and some of you may have also space and vacancy. But the concept that you can take and go to your village and do the same things, God will bless you. Everybody cannot join Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But the concept which on which Bhaktivedanta Hospital was built, was made, the concept you can take and start your nursing homes, come together like-minded people who are not greedy and exploitative in your mood, come together, open a small thing, do genuine service to people, help people who are needy. God will bless you and you will grow like anything. You will not be able to believe that I was the same guy who came from BJ. And today what God has put me in is a wonderful thing. This will fulfill your life and satisfy you. Any other question is there? Anybody? Yes, sir. Yes.
We all are very neophyte devotees. So, while still practicing Krishna consciousness, we are very fragile, Prabhuji. We just, every other step we fall into the material trap. So, how do we avoid it?
The only vaccine against falling in the material trap is good association of like-minded people. So fortunately, I was the first devotee in JJ Hospital. Then I made our friend, our director today. He was also made into a devotee. Then two more people became devotees. Then two more people became devotees. So we had about 6-7 people of different years. We were devotees. And we always kept very strong union in studying, eating, going around together. So we never felt trapped. We stopped going to canteen because all nonsense were going in canteen. All, you know, what to explain to you now? You know everything better than me. So the only antidote for not falling in the trap of Maya, in the external rut that everybody is sucked in today. All doctors are sucked in today in that rut. You may want to become genuine and nice person and good practitioner, but if you are in the world outside now, you get sucked in. You will somehow be forced to practice all corrupt things. But if you are a good group of people, like we were a good group of people, we, I'm telling you, you will be surprised to know, we were 5 simple guys, you know, just passed out, with no pen in the pocket. And we just one fine day decided, you take medicine, you take surgery, you take gynecology, you take pediatrics, you take ophthalmology. And believe me, everybody got the branches which we decided. We were shocked. I mean, as a बैठ के ड्रीम करने में क्या जाता है यू बिकम न्यूरोलॉजिस्ट हाँ यू बिकम न्यूरोसर्जन यू बिकम कार्डियो सर्जन बट वॉट एवर सिंप्लिसिटी वी हैड इन द हार्ट एंड वी डिसाइडेड ऑल ऑफ देम गॉट द सेम ब्रांचेस कैन यू बिलीव दैट एंड द नेक्स्ट जनरेशन वन डॉक्टर केम आफ्टर 4 इयर्स वन डॉक्टर केम एंड ही ऑल्सो गॉट इन ऑर्थोपेडिक्स एंड वी टोल्ड हिम सर वी हैव ऑलरेडी दिस प्रभुजी इज डूइंग ऑर्थोपेडिक्स तो यू जस्ट गिव अप एंड यू टेक जनरल सर्जरी एंड ही सैक्रिफाइस ऑर्थोपेडिक सीट एंड टू जनरल सर्जरी एंड हु इज ही डॉक्टर बी सी शाह The topmost earner in the hospital today is B.C. Shah. So can you say that, oh, for you all guys' sake, I gave up orthopedics and I become general surgeon? No, God has blessed him with topmost earning in the sincere, most honest practice in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So these all sacrifices count. When you do some sacrifices for some good cause, no? Everything becomes auspicious for you. So anyway, because all of us were together, we had guts to open our small polyclinic and we didn't take any referrals from anybody. Didn't pay anybody for any referrals, so they stopped referring to us. But our guys were referring to each other and we were self-sufficient. And even today also, we don't pay a single penny to anybody. We all have straight practice in the hospital. Direct practice. Can you believe that? So if we were dependent on others to refer patients to us, and then we would have to pay a lot of money as cuts and, you know, make the whole place corrupt. But today, and right in the beginning stages when we were just opening a polyclinic, we never paid a single penny as a principal, we will not pay. We need half roti in the beginning, no problem. We will not pay any corruption money to anybody. And in very soon, can you believe in a flat, in three flats, small three flats, we had a polyclinic. From 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., we have been seeing 350 patients in OPD. People are standing out in the compound of the building and waiting in a queue. And what we are charging that time? 30 rupees for consultation. And the next door consultant is charging 100 rupees for consultation. And we had guts to charge only 30 rupees. And we are roaring practice. By volumes, we are making money. For 100 rupees, they may get 5 patients. For 30 rupees, we are getting 50 patients. And that's how our business grew. And we had guts and daring to think of opening a hospital in 2 acres of land. Can you believe this? Why stupid guys from just passed out post-graduation, attempting something to do. In 3 years' time, we got donation of 1.75 acres of land in nice location. And 26 donors came together and built a 15 crore worth 80,000 square feet of 6-floor hospital. Why? Because we remained together in the company of nice people with faith. Same thing you have to do. If you want to save yourself from the trap of material world, keep good company. See, Prabhuji, Milind Prabhu is coming here, giving you good guidance, you know, spending time. He has given up his life is for teaching others, living in temple, simple life. He also can make money like you. But he has given up his life only for saving others. He's not going to sit in the temple and just meditate on his own. He will go to meet everybody and tell them what is the best kind of life you can live. So take his association, go to temple. Or I was asking while coming, you came with me, who came with me? You came with me? 5 minutes walk temple is there. I was so happy to know that. Temple is walking distance, yeah. Anytime you can walk in, take prasadam, take darshan, come back. Mood bore ho gaya to jaake baad darshan karke prasad khake aa jane ka. He will arrange for you, nice prasad. Hostel mein kya khana milta hai, malum hai na aapko? It is said that if you eat hostel food, you can digest any food in the world. Such kind of food is available here. And you go walk down 5 minutes from here, you have most tasty prasad in the world. Agar aapko khana sikhna hai, to iskon mein aao. We will teach you how to eat. I was from a very poor family, but I have eaten such affluent food in the ISKCON. I've been spoiled actually in ISKCON. So, come and enjoy good life, good food, good people, good Lord, good festivals. You know, enjoy life. What is there? Nobody says when you become a devotee, you should give all the happiness. No, anandamayo bhyasat. Everybody is pleasure seeking, and you all have right to enjoy in legitimate way. I'm so happy today to learn that BJ Medical is 5 minutes walk from temple, Kunj Bihari ji. The most blessed Lord is there, standing over there. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Hari Bol.